announce all week, the lesson
tonight is going to be about discipleship and suffering. Unfortunately, our speaker fell
ill this evening and was unable to be with us, and so we've invited someone to take his place, and I hope you'll give attention to the man from Ur as he tells us his story.
Whoa, Clyde. Clyde, whoa, Clyde. You silly camel. Have you ever ridden on a camel 6,000 miles? Well, don't. Good evening, Florence Boulevard. My name's Job, and I'm from the land of Uz. Brother Hines wanted me to come tonight. He thought that you'd like to hear my story. He thought maybe you could benefit from it. He had talked about how here in America you've gone through some financial problems. Some of you may have lost your job. Some of you don't know about your job. You're going through some financial difficulty. And then he said that some of you, he said he'd been listening to announcements, going through a lot of sickness, disease, suffering in your life. So he felt it'd just be best if he stayed back at Hartsel tonight. And he asked me a few days ago if I'd come, and so I got on my camel Clyde, and we rode. It's something when you ride with Clyde. But I finally got here, and I'm glad I did. I don't know if you'll get anything out of my story tonight or not, but I'm going to tell it because he wanted me to. I like him. He's just a real good guy. I hope you saw that in him. Just a real sweet fella. And I sort of liked him through the years, and I said, okay, Brother Hines, I'll come from Uz, and I'll tell those folks my story, and maybe it'll help them. I was taken back. I really was. Years and years ago, I was taken back when God took my story. I mean, the story has to be somewhat important. When He took my story and He put it in His Word, sort of made me proud. And did you know what? I was reading over the New Testament one day, and I've even mentioned my story, and I've even mentioned in the New Testament. James talked about me, said I was a man of patience. I don't know if I'm that kind of man or not, but that's what he said. Now, I don't know, maybe it was because in my life I endured some difficult trials. And I endured those trials with some great patience. Maybe that's it. I don't know. And the more I think about it, the trials that I went through, they're the same trials that everybody goes through, some form or the other. So, let me tell you my story. I guess you could just sum up what I did in my life, and with these trials I'm going to tell you about my life, if I summed it up, I'd probably sum it up like this. And this is what I'd tell you about dealing with suffering in your life. That is, in life, when you get to the end of your rope of faith, just hang on. And hang on with all your might. You see, sometimes that's all you can do when you suffer. Well, there were three basic trials in my life. And as I said now, you folks are going to identify with this. Some of you, when I mention the trials, you're probably going to say, uh-huh. The first trial I had to face was the trial of poverty. I heard some of you say, I know. You've been there, right? The trial of poverty. It hits us all sometime or the other, at least most of us. Let me tell you how it began. There was this meeting up in heaven between God and the angels, and I don't know. Now, you got to keep in mind, some folks, I don't know all this stuff that's going on, okay? I mean, if I knew all this stuff was going on, you maybe could understand how I responded to it. But I didn't know this was going on. And so God is talking to the angels and Satan comes along, and this really humbles me. It really does. Because you know what God did? God bragged on me. He said to Satan, he said, if you considered my servant Job, that there's just none like him in all the earth. And what really blew me away, was God said this about me. He said I was upright, that I feared him, that I was perfect, and that I stayed away from evil. And can you imagine God saying that about anybody? Now, don't misunderstand something here, okay? But when God said I was perfect, he didn't mean that I was sinless. He meant I was mature, and I could handle what came to my life. Boy, that made me so proud. God, I found out God said that. Well, Satan, you know how he is, folks. You know, he's after us all the time. And he said to God, he says, let me tell you why he's that kind of guy. He says, you know, Job is that kind of guy because it pays to serve you. Because look what you've done to him, God. Well, you've put this big hedge, this big fence around. You've given him a home. You've given him family. You've given him land. You've given him herds. And you've given him wealth. Well, no wonder he serves you. Well, I got to tell you something here. That wasn't the reason I was serving God. But that's what he said to God. He said to me, he said, if you take all these things away from him, he'll suffer. And he'll curse you. Can you believe this? Now, I couldn't see this at the time. Remember, I don't know anything about all this. And God said to the devil, he said, I tell you what. You can go down and do something to Job, but don't you touch him. Lo and behold, one day I was out in the field, and all of a sudden one of my servants came running up to me and said, Job. I said, what? He says, you know, your 500 yoke of oxen, your 500 donkeys. I said, yeah, I love those donkeys and oxen. Job, I got some bad news for you. Job. The civilians that came along and they took your oxen, they took your donkeys, and they killed all the servants that were taking care of them, Job. I'm the only one left. Ask yourself, how would you like to lose 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys in one day? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you Americans, y'all would be glad to get rid of something like that. But you see, in the land of Uz, that was a whole lot of cash. Well, that in of itself, for a guy living in us, would be enough. But you know what happened next? Before that servant could leave, here comes another servant up and he said, Job. I said, hell, what's going on? He said, Job, let me tell you. He said, you know your 7,000 sheep? I said, yeah, I love my 7,000 sheep. Well, we were out in the field and there was something like lightning that came down from heaven, Job, and caught the field on fire. And all your sheep were destroyed. And the servants tried to rescue them. And every one of the servants are destroyed. And Job, I'm the only one left. How would you like to lose 7,000 sheep in one day? 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, 7,000. Before that servant could leave, you know what happened? I mean, you think that's enough? Here comes another servant. He says, Job, I got something to tell you. I said, why? He says, you know, your 3,000 camels. I said, I love my 3,000 camels. He says, let me tell you, the Chaldeans came and they've taken your camels and your servants are taking care of them. They killed them. I'm the only one left. To you Americans, sheep, oxen, camels may not mean much. But you know what that meant? That meant that I was financially wiped out in one day. One day. I didn't have any capital. I didn't have any income. Now, maybe you could relate to this. I hope this never ever happens to any of you, but if you went home tonight and you pulled up in your yard and your house was completely burnt down, you might say to yourself, oh, well, at least I still got a job and I got some insurance. And so the next day you go down to the insurance company, you find you didn't have any insurance. Well, you go to work and you find you don't have a job anymore. And all of a sudden you don't have anything. You're wiped out. Well, that's the way it was with me. I was completely wiped out financially. Guess what? Before that servant left about the camels, here comes another servant up. Running saying, Job, you know your 10 children. I said, yeah, my 7 sons, my 3 daughters. They were in a room and they were having a banquet kind of thing. And all of a sudden there was this wind like a tornado that came up and blew the house down. And Job, I hate to tell you, but all 10 of your kids have died. You ever lost a child? Tears your heart out, doesn't it? Your boss, 2 children. In the Uzzite Chronicle the next morning, in the obituary column, were 10 obituaries. And all of them were my children. You ever been to a funeral where there's 2 caskets, 3 caskets? About being in a funeral with 10 caskets. All of them your children. Here I am, folks. In one day, I had been completely wiped out financially. I lost all of my kids. Listen, I'm a church-going guy. Remember God said about me? He said I was perfect. I was upright. I stayed with you. And I was a righteous man. And I did everything I could to help people and to love God and to be what God wanted to be. And all this stuff that's coming on me. Never had those kind of thoughts. What would you do? What would you, one day, if you'd lost out everything, you'd been wiped out financially, and in one day, you lost all your kids. What would you do? Would you turn your back on God? Well, here's what it did. You know, I just shaved my head. I ripped my clothes off and I got down on my knees and I said, God, I don't understand this. I'm a righteous man. I'm a church-going guy. God, I don't know, but I know this. You're in control. And Father, let me tell you, you are in control, and I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave this world with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord, is what I said. So, you see, when it came to my trial of poverty, I just tied a knot in the end of my rope of faith. And I hung on. I hung on with all my might. Keep in mind, folks, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand this. I can't figure it out up here. Well, you think that'd be enough? No, it wasn't. In my book that God gives to me, in the second chapter, you have that second trial. It's the trial of pain. You say, oh, yeah, uh-huh, I know what you're talking about there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trial of pain. There was another meeting up in heaven. And God, He was so proud of me. He was just tickled to death of me. And He said to Satan, Satan came along again. He said, have you considered my servant Job? That there's just none like him. Made me feel good. He said, there's none like him. You know what that rascal the devil did? He said, yeah, you wouldn't let me touch him. You let me go down there and put a little pain in Job's life, and he'll curse you. He'll deny you. Man, God had so much faith in me. He said, okay, you go down and you can touch him. Just don't kiss him. All of a sudden, I looked down, and there was a boil. You ever had a boil? Not pretty, is it? And it's not good feeling. And then I looked and there was another boil. And I looked and there was another boil. And before I knew it, folks, there were boils all over me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Can you imagine? having just one ball. But can you imagine having balls from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet? Sometimes I think when folks read that story, they don't understand what I went through. You see, I couldn't comb my hair. I'd hit a ball. It hurt. I couldn't shave. I would hit a ball and it would hurt. I couldn't lie on my back because it would hurt. I'd be on a ball. I couldn't get on my left side. It would hurt. I'd be on a ball. I couldn't get on my right side. It would hurt. I'd get on a ball. I couldn't lie on my tummy because I'd get on a ball. It would hurt. There were some other things going on with those balls. People just don't think about. First of all, there was disfiguration. Now, I don't know what you think by looking at me, but, you know, I sort of thought every time I go down the creek and look in the creek and see my reflection, I sort of thought, you know, I was a pretty good-looking fella. Well, one day I go down with these balls on my face, and it scared me to death. It was disfigurement. I look like what some of you would call, I guess here in America, the elephant man. It was horrible. I hope none of this ever happens to any of you, but suppose all of a sudden you get caught up in the fire. And you were disfigured in the face. What would you do? How would you react? Would you stay faithful to God? I'll tell you something else that a lot of people don't think about, and that is there was alienation. You see, back in us, you folks here in America know nothing about it, but it's called leprosy. And leprosy is a bad, bad, bad thing. You don't want it because you're going to die. There is no cure in the land of us for leprosy. And if there's anything that looks like leprosy, people won't come around you. In fact, somebody sees you and all of a sudden you look like you've got leprosy. They'll say, unclean, unclean, unclean. And they'll run for the hills. Listen, I had nobody. Absolutely nobody. You know, a lot of times when you go through pain in life, you got a friend or somebody that'll stand there with you and be with you and encourage you. Listen, I had nobody in all this pain. But then there was the burning itching. The itching got so, so bad. You know what I would do? I'd take broken pieces of pottery and I'd go out to the garbage dump and I'd sit in the garbage dump because nobody wanted to be around me and I'd scrape those wounds because of the burning itching. Now here I am. I've been wiped out financially. I've got all this pain. I got the trial of poverty. I got the trial of pain, and I'm hurting. You know what my wife did? She looked at me and she said, "Why don't you curse God and die? I want you men in here." I was a real man. I looked her in the eye and I said, "You speak as a foolish woman." Here's what I told her. I said, "God's been good to us through the years. God's blessed us. God's taking care of us. And I'm not about to turn my back on God. I don't understand it. I don't know why I've lost all of my children. I don't know why I've been wiped out financially in one day. I don't know why I'm having all of this pain in my life. But I do know one thing, and that is that God is still on the throne and God is still in control." That's what I told her. So in my trial of pain, I just tied a knot. I couldn't understand it up here. I couldn't figure it out. I just tied a knot in the end of my rope of faith. And I hung on. And I hung on with all my might. Well, that brings me to the third trial that I faced. It's the trial of perplexity. Perplexity. You all been there? If you've had the trial of pain in your life, you've had the trials of suffering in your life, if you've had the trial of poverty in your life, you know what I'm talking about. Because here you are, you church-going folks, you try to live right, you try to do right, and all this stuff is coming in on you, and you're wondering why. You see, when suffering comes into our lives, the perplexity sets in. We began to ask that one word question, why? I did. Well, you can look in my book there in the Old Testament in Job chapter 3, and I started asking, I said, God, why? I said, God, why was I ever born if all this stuff is going to happen to me? I said, God, why didn't I die in childbirth if all this was going to happen to me? I said, God, why don't I just die right now? It happens. So it is. Now, you think I've gone through enough? You think? I got four friends that come along. And they come to comfort me. I call them miserable comforters. They came to bring comfort, but they brought misery instead. Bildad, Zophar, Elihu, or some kind of friends. Bildad, Eliphaz, Zophar, Elihu. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm glad they came, okay? I'm glad they came. Because I don't know how it is here in America, but over in the land of us, you know what? You can get sick and nobody will come to see you, but you die and everybody will come to see you. I don't think that's how it is. So I was glad they came to see me when I was alive. I was in such a bad shape that when they saw me, they couldn't say a word. They sit there for 7 days. Could see a word. Can you imagine you being in the hospital? Maybe you in traction with both arms and both legs, and then you just bruised and swollen up, and somebody comes in your hospital room, and they look at you, and you're in such a bad shape, they just sit there and they can't say a word. That's what happened with Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, Elihu. Finally, after 7 days, they began to speak. Now, get the picture, folks. Get the picture. I've lost all my children. I've been wiped out financially. I am in pain with these boils all over my body. And here I am. And you know what they want to do? They want to have a debate. They did. I'm in this situation in the room, and they want to start telling me why I'm suffering. In the first series of debates, Eliphaz spoke and I answered him. Bildad spoke and I answered him. Zophar spoke and I answered him. And basically, you know what all three were saying in that first series of speeches? They were saying, Job, we know why you're suffering. We know what's wrong with you. You are a sinner. And they said it like some of your TV evangelists. Sinner! How would you like to be in the hospital? And all of a sudden, I mean, you're in a bad shape. And you don't know if you'll make it or not. And somebody walks into your room and they look at you and say, oh my goodness, you are so bad. I tell you what, the reason you're like that is because you're a sinner. I'd make you want to just get well real quick, wouldn't it? I mean, they were miserable comforters. They were like, you know, those folks that'll go into a hospital sometime. And they'll go and visit somebody and say, what you got? And they tell them, and say, oh my goodness, my granddaddy had that and he died in 2 days. That's the way they were. They said, you're a sinner, Job. I said, no. I said, that's not the case. I said, you name the sin. Just lay it out here. Now, folks, I realize that there are consequences to sin. I realize that it does. If you get on your camel and you drink some, you know, coconut juice that's been fermented and you hang yourself on a coconut tree, then you're going to suffer the consequences. I understand that. But you see, just because you're suffering, it doesn't mean you're a sinner. That's the way the Jews have always thought. And if you ever do anything, get any suffering in your life, it's because of sin. But it's not. It's not. Well, there's a second series of speeches. Eliphaz speaks and I answer him. Bildad speaks and I answer him. Zophar speaks and I answer him. This time, you know what they said? They said, Job, we know we've got it figured out why you're suffering. The reason you're suffering is because you're not helping the poor. They're widows and they're orphans out there and you're not helping them. And in the condition I am, I got up and I said to them, no. I gave to the widows and I gave to that. That's not it. Well, there's a third series of speeches. Eliphaz speaks and I answer him. Bildad speaks and I answer him. For some reason, I don't know why Zophar doesn't speak this time. And the two said, here's what the problem is. God's chastising you, Job. That's it. Somehow you've gotten off the straight and narrow, and God's chastising you. Well, here I am. I mean, I'm in this condition, and I'm having this debate with these guys. And I said, that's not the case. I said, if God is chastising me, why so bad? Why did I lose all of my children? Why not just one or two? Why did He just take maybe my oxen or donkeys or just my sheep or my camels? But why did He take all of them? Why didn't He just give me a boil or two or three? Why did He give me boils from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet? No, that's not it. Finally, in that last series of debates, Elihu, he's the young one. Have you noticed he hadn't been speaking? Well, he finally speaks. But he gets up like any young guy, you know, full of all this knowledge, and says, Job, I've got it figured out while you're something. I said, why? He said, because God's teaching you something. Now, folks, I realize that you can learn from suffering. Sometimes from suffering you learn how to be stronger. Sometimes from suffering you learn who your friends are. I realize that sometimes you develop tenderness from suffering and many other things. But I don't think that was the reason. Now, here what was happening with all this debating going on. You see, the perplexity just kept building and building and building. And by this time, when Elihu had spoken, I had headed up to here, folks, up to here. And I said, time out. I said, if I could just talk to God, if I could just have a one-on-one with God, I'd find out why it is I'm going through what I'm going through. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you, in the trial of suffering, in the trial of pain, the difficulty in your life, have you ever just come to a point because you've tried to do right, you've tried to live right, and you can't understand it, you can't figure it out up here while all this stuff is happening to you, and you said, if I could just talk to God, if I could just talk to Him, I could understand it. You're not going to believe this. God came back to me when I said, I want a one-on-one with God. And He says, okay, Job, I'll give you a one-on-one, man. You want a one-on-one with me, Job? That's fine. But before we do that, Job, I want to ask you a few things. I said, okay. And basically, you know what God did? He gave me two tests. He gave me a long test and He gave me a short test. The long test, beginning in my story in about chapter 38, the long test is about 48 questions, 48, 50 questions. And God started asking me all of this stuff about nature. Can you believe that? I mean, I just wanted to talk to Him, find out why I'm suffering. He says, Job, I want to know something. He said, Job, where were you when I made the mountains? He said, Job, where were you when I put the feathers on the peacocks? Job, I want to know something. Where were you when I put the stars in the sky? Where were you when I put the sun in the sky, Job? Where were you when I put the moon up there? Where were you when I said to the waters, you come just right here, and that's how far you go? You know what? He went on and on and on with all of those questions about nature. You know how many answered correctly? I need to tell you. Zero. I flunked the test. I did not get one of them right. Well, just after that, God wasn't through with me. He gave me another test. It was a shorter test, about 24 questions. And once again, it's all about nature. I'm wondering, what's going on here with God? He said, Job, I want to know something. Can you catch an alligator with a fish hook? Hey, Job, can you put your hand up and catch a bird and cause it to go south? Hey, Job, can you feed the animal kingdom? Job, can you control this world? And he went on and on and on and on. And you know how many I got right? I know you're going to think when I tell you this, I'm a stupid guy. I flunked the test again. I didn't get a one of them right. Then all of a sudden, he hit me. You know what I did? I got down on my knees. And I said, "Oh, Lord, I didn't know what I was saying. Oh, Lord, I didn't know what I was doing. But now I know. I figured it out. I understood what God was doing with me and asking me all those questions about nature. He was helping me to see that if I couldn't understand and answer the simple works of God in nature, how in the world would I understand it if He came to me and told me why it is good people suffer? Or even if God came and told me, I couldn't get it in my brain box. Well, if I understood it, I would be as God Himself." You see, when you get down to it, and you look at my story in the Bible, beloved, it doesn't tell us, give us the answer of why it is that good people suffer. But what my story says to people is this, that there are times in life when you can't understand it, and there are times in life when you don't know, that you just have to tie a knot in the end of your rope of faith, and you just have to trust God and trust Him with all your might. Because there's some things in this life you're never, ever going to know. Why? As I look back on that story, there's three things that I learned. Three things I maybe can help you. Here's the first thing I learned in all this. You see, just because I don't understand things today, it doesn't mean I won't understand them tomorrow. You got that? Just because I don't understand things today, it doesn't mean I won't understand them tomorrow. You Americans, y'all sing a song, and I remember the line of it. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Why, you got little children. I see those little children, heard some of them. They sound so sweet. And when they sit down to eat and you put the spinach and you put the beans, they don't want that, do they? They want a Three Musketeer bar, or they want one of those Mars bars or something like that, right? And they can't understand it. They can't understand why they can't have it. But you see, one day they will. One day they'll be older and they'll understand why they don't have Three Musketeer bars to eat every meal. You look back and you think about your life. Well, there were things that have happened in your life to those of you who are older. And you couldn't understand. You didn't know why. You were serving God and you were living for God. And you had no idea why you were going through what you were going through. You couldn't see it then. But you let some years go by. And now as you look back years later and you see that incident, you can see the providence of God working. And you can say, you know, I couldn't see it back then, but I can see it now. Now, yeah, you know that story of Joseph. You know, Joseph and I, we go back a long way. You remember how his brothers took him and they put him in a pit? Can you imagine us going visiting Joseph in that pit and saying, "Joseph, we want to tell you about this passage over in the New Testament, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good, those that love the Lord." And you'd have been Joseph, you'd have probably said, "Wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. It's easy for you to say that because your brothers haven't thrown you in this pit." Now we see Joseph and he's sold into slavery. And he's walking chained down to Egypt. And we walk up beside him and say, "Hey, Joseph, you remember me?" "I remember you. If I get out of these chains, I'd kill you." "Listen, Joseph, all things are going to work out to good for those who love the Lord." "Yeah, you can say that because you're not in these chains. I don't understand why my brothers did me this way. I don't understand why I'm going to Egypt." We go and we visit Joseph when he's in prison. And we come and we knock on his cell bars and we say, Joseph, do you remember me?" "Yes, if I could get out of here, I'd get you. Don't you tell me that stuff about all things working together for good to love the Lord, because look at where I am." But then we go see Joseph. a few years later. And he's second in command of the land. We say, Joseph, you remember me? Yeah, I remember you. You know, I couldn't see it when I was in the pit with my brothers. I couldn't see it when I was on the way to Egypt. I couldn't see it when I was in the dungeon. But I can see it now. Now, beloved, there's some things in life that are going to happen to you and suffering is going to come to you. You'll never know in this life. It'll be only life to come. But just because you don't understand today, it doesn't mean you won't understand it in the future. Here's the second thing I want to leave with you that I gather from my story. And that's it. Even though you don't understand it, you can't figure it out up here, it doesn't mean that God doesn't understand it. Okay? Because you see, He sees the big picture. God sees the beginning. God sees the end. We can only see the here and now. And maybe look back a little bit on the past. But we don't know the future, but God knows, and He can see the big picture. And just because all of this doesn't make sense to us, while we're going through what we're going through, it doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. See, I think I started maybe figuring some things out. Actually, it's all over with. Even though I couldn't understand it, I believe that God needed somebody. He needed somebody that could go through the trial of poverty and be completely wiped out financially and still be faithful to me. Somebody He could point to and say, here's how you do it. I believe that God needed somebody in life that could lose all of their children and still faithful to Him. Somebody that He could point to and say, look at Him. I believe that God needed somebody that could endure the trial of pain in life and still be faithful to Him. And I believe that He looked down and He saw me and He said, Job is the man. And it must have been that way because you know what? For thousands and thousands of years, preachers have been getting up and telling my story. Even some crazy preachers get up and even dress like me and tell my story. And you know what happens when they tell my story? The people walk out and they say, you know, if Job can endure the trial of pain, I can. If Job can endure what he did, being wiped out financially, then I can. If Job can lose all of his children and stay faithful to God, then I can. See, just because things don't make sense to us, folks, doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. Here's the last thing that I just take from my story. This was a big one for me. I don't know about you, but it was a big one. You see, just because I can't understand things intellectually, it doesn't mean I can't understand them spiritually. Okay? Okay? Notice I've been talking about making sense. You see, all this stuff that happened to me didn't make a bit of sense. Remember, I was a church-going person. I was a man who helped the widows and orphans. I was the one who loved the Lord. It didn't make sense to me. Even God Himself said, remember, I was perfect, I was upright, I feared Him and stayed away from evil. See, just because things don't make sense to you, doesn't mean they don't make sense to God. And just because you can't understand it intellectually doesn't mean you can't understand spiritually. Let me try to explain what I'm talking about. You know, there are a lot of things in the Bible that I'd like to know more about. I'd like to know more about sin than what the Bible tells me. But there's one thing the Bible will do. The Bible will tell me how to respond to sin. And that's the main thing. There's a lot about suffering that I'd like to know more about from the Bible and from other things in life. Even though as bad as I suffer. But even though I can't learn everything about suffering from the Bible, let me tell you this. The Bible tells me how to respond to it. You see. It's a problem, folks. I have the same problem we all do. You see, when suffering comes into our life, The first thing we want to do is try to figure it out right here. And here's why. Because we think as human beings, if we can figure it out right here, then we can grasp it and we can deal with it. And so we try so hard in life to try to understand it. That's why we do like I did. Why? Because I want to understand it here so I can get it and deal with it. That's the thing, though. A lot of things in life that happen to us, we never gonna figure out up here. And you know what we do? Some of us will spend the rest of our life trying to figure it out. And we never will. And we're no good to God, we're no good to the church, and we're no good to ourselves, and we're no good to our family. We waste our life away in anxiety and depression and worry and self-pity, and we wallow in our self-pity and everything else because we can't figure it out up here. I don't know. Maybe the best way I can explain it is like this. I'm in the desert out there in Uz, and I'm walking down the road. And all of a sudden, there's this big, huge boulder in the road in the desert in Uz. Now, I can do one or two things with that big boulder on the roadway of life. Either I can use it as a stumbling block or I can use it as a stepping stone. It's up to me. You see, I could come to this big stone and say, oh my goodness, and try to intellectually figure out how the thing got there. I could sit down and I could spend the rest of my life trying to figure out how that stone got there. I could say, man, you know, maybe it was just a heavy rain up there on that hill, and or maybe some bad guys came along and pushed that boulder down here. And for the rest of my life, I could try to figure out how I got there. And I'm not going to be good to myself or anybody else. Or I can use that boulder as a stepping stone and go right on down the roadway of life. You see, that's the choice that you have. It's the choice I have. When it came to the poverty and the pain and the death and the suffering in my life, that's the choice. I decided to use it as a stepping stone and not as a stumbling block. Well, that's my story. I don't know if it's helped you or not. I can imagine, though, that I probably got through my story a whole lot earlier than Brother Hines. That's the problem he has. He preaches a long time sometimes. Long, long time. Yeah. But I leave you tonight with this thought. You know, folks, in life, either you're headed into a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're going out of the storm. Life's just filled with storms. And even though we can't see God, and even though we can't figure it out, we just have to tie a knot and give our rope of faith many times. And just hang on. You know what will happen? You see, here's the good part about the story. You know what happened to me in the end? God restored it all. And He doubled it. Gave me back the 10 children. Listen. Whatever happens, and how little you can understand it, remember this. God always vindicates the righteous. If not in this life, in the life to come. Here's the thing also I'll leave you with about suffering. Some of you in a valley right now, you're in a storm right now. Or you think you're heading one. Let me tell you, the most important thing about going into the storms of life is this. And that is, don't go in alone. You take God with you. You see, that's the most powerful thing in the world. I knew that God was still in control in my life. And even though I couldn't understand it, God was with me and that He walked beside me and He would be for me what I need to be. He would give me the strength to endure what I endure. Because He saw the big picture. And I could... Have you heard? No. When you don't have God in your life, I don't understand how in the world you could go through the suffering you're going through. You see, He wants to help to make your burden easy. He wants to give you the strength to get through it. He wants to help to build the character in you that He wants so much to build. And if you're not a child of His tonight, I hope you'll come. I hear you folks have this thing called an invitation song. And so we're going to sing it. Since y'all do that, have an invitation here. But the worst thing that you could ever do is to go into a storm of life without God. You need Him. So we hope tonight, if you're not a child of His, that you'll come and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. And get God on your side in the storm. I may be talking to some folks who've done that, and life's been tough on you. You question God just like I did. You've been asking God why? Just remember He's still in control. Just remember there's just some things you'll never understand. But don't. Sit in the road any longer. Take that suffering and make a stepping stone out of it. Quit trying to figure it out in your life. Come back. Get God where He ought to be. God will. He will vindicate the righteous. So, I'm Job. And that's my story. If you need to come tonight, you can come as we sing this song.